This is Steve Stillwell. Welcome to the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show. This is Steve Stillwell with the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show, and today's guest is Lindsay Persico. In fact, I've really been looking forward to having her on today's show. We have several passions that we share: survival, varmint hunting. She's an avid hunter, and she's kind of a physical fitness buff. Lindsay, welcome to the show. This is Steve Stillwell with the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show, and we have a special guest today, Lindsay Persico. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Lindsay, let's talk about your survival career. I read briefly that you started off hunting with your dad, and let's talk about that a little.
Yeah, I was really blessed that I got to grow up in a place where we had a lot of opportunities for outdoor adventures and experiences, and that I also had a dad who wasn't afraid to take me with him when he went. I had an older brother, and as I watched in my community, a lot of times dads that had sons would take their sons out, and that was very accepted and natural. But not very many times would I see a dad taking their daughter out, but my dad wasn't like that. I was blessed, and he brought me along too. I'm very grateful for that. He introduced me to hunting and fishing and camping and hiking, and
awesome.
I loved all of it. All of it was just a blessing.
I have a daughter like that, too. In fact, I was writing for the Arkansas Trophy Hunters magazine, and they said, everybody does a father-son article. Do something father-daughter. And we did. I took her out. She got her first deer with a bow. So I commend you, ladies. I love it when I see you gals out there hunting and doing the things that us tough guys can do. Sometimes y'all do it better. That's for sure.
I'm glad that you take her out. That's awesome.
Let's talk about your first harvest. Was it gun or bow?
It was with a gun. I went turkey hunting for my first actual tag hunt and used a shotgun.
Really?
It was a blast.
That's not easy. Turkey hunting, we've got a lot of turkey hunters in this neck of the woods, and it's not easy.
It's not, but I was blessed. My dad and a friend of his, they knew what they were doing, so they took me out and they made it feel like it was easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lindsay, I want to talk about Alone the Beast, the television program. Did you audition? How did you wind up on the show?
Well, honestly, I don't consider myself a survival expert. I never have. That's never been like my focus in life or anything. I love hunting and I love the outdoors, and being prepared to be out there in a survival situation is kind of part of that. So I have a little bit of that in my background, but it wasn't my focus. So applying for a show like that wasn't on my radar. It wasn't something I had ever considered. But I got somebody reached out to me and asked me if I'd be interested in doing the show. And it's one of those things where you can't turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opportunity of a lifetime. So
yeah.
I said, yeah, I didn't know how well it would go, but I knew I would just go and give it my all. And yeah, it was a pretty cool opportunity.
So they had this show in the makings.
They tried to pick people who had really specific skills to be teammates so that you balanced each other out. And I think they were looking for somebody with the hunting background. And I'm fairly active on social media. And I think that there was connections through some friends maybe or something. I'm not sure how they found my page exactly, but they contacted me on a social media site and asked me if I'd be interested. And at first I thought it was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is probably a scam thing. But the more I looked into it, I'm like, oh, they're actually asking me to do this. Okay.
One thing that I noticed, of course, you guys, all you had were the clothes on your back when you did this. And I noticed you had a little trouble with some of your fire skills, you know, because you guys weren't even allowed to take lighters, flint, steel, anything. But I liked how you preserved your fire and kept it going and how you transported it to your final site. Have you been working on your fire skills since then?
You know, I've done a little bit more with the bow drill. That's the one that I had practiced before I went.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved the technique that Zane ended up using. It was brilliant.
Yes.
And he was very good at it. It was impressive. I had never seen that before. It was totally new territory for me to watch that. And I loved it. But I don't know how he did that for so long. My neck and my back with that kind of a position just kills me. So I like the bow drill technique, but that worked really well for him. I've practiced that some, but I haven't spent a ton of time working on it since I've got home. I've been so busy just hunting, family, life. I don't get out and practice the primitive skills as mm-hmm. much as I would like to.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can attest to what she's saying there because I follow her on social media, and this gal has done a lot of hunting this year.
I spent a lot of time hunting big game during mm-hmm. the early part of the year, early part of the hunting season when the weather's really good and there's not that much snow in the mountains yet. Mm-hmm. And then once the big game season is over and the freezers are full, then I feel like I'm free to go chase predators, which I love to do. It's really fun for me, but that's when the snow hits and everything's super deep and it really limits my mobility and how far I can get back in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been struggling to get into the wolf's territory, but every year I learn more about it and I have a blast out there trying to figure out where they are and how to get to them. It's just a really fun time in the woods.
Yeah, yeah. Do you use any game calls? Have you practiced with that yet?
Yeah, yep. I do have game calls and I should use a snowmobile because that's how some of the really effective hunters around here get into the wolves is they go and take the snowmobiles out and they hit a fresh track and then they hop off their snowmobiles at that point and they follow those fresh tracks until they can find the pack. But for me, I love hiking and I love the exercise part of it. So I always snowshoe in, but snowshoeing doesn't get you across as much ground and you just can't cover it as well as you could with a snowmobile.
Oh man. Yeah. I've hunted in the snow before. And something else right. too, you know, someone listening might wonder, well, why the heck would somebody hunt a wolf? Well, I'm telling you, if you have cattle, if you have sheep, I'll tell you what, the predation on said animals there has to be a balance. And the wolves, they really have no natural predators other than us. It's very
right.
beneficial
the
to
wolves,
the ecology.
The wolves in our area too, they have a giant impact on our elk herds. And my family lives on elk meat. That's our food source. So
mm-hmm.
keeping the numbers of the wolves in check somewhat is really important for a lot of reasons. For conservation of the elk herds, it's important. Everybody needs to play their part in balancing everything out.
I'd like to say this, and hopefully we're not encroaching on a topic here that we shouldn't talk about, but do you think we're going to see you again possibly in the future on television? Are you at liberty to say that?
Well, I could probably if it was going to happen, but I'm not pursuing anything like that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in the works on it. I'm not going to rule it out that it would never happen, but
not anytime
in the real near future.
Yeah, I have a feeling we haven't seen or heard the last of you, though. That's for sure. Well, what would you like to accomplish in the future here with your bushcrafting skills? Longer-term goals?
You know, I have just a passion for the outdoors. And a lot of the reason why I'm as passionate about it as I am is because of how much it affects me, not only physically, but mentally. I feel like for everybody, there's a giant benefit to just getting outside.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what that looks like, if it's practicing bushcrafting skills, or if it's just hiking, or if you're into hunting or fishing or whatever it is that gets you outside, I know how much it benefits me and I've seen how much it benefits other people. And it's somewhat of a dying trend. It's there, but it's not as commonplace as I feel like it should be for the mm-hmm. mental and physical health of people. And just helping introduce people to that is something I love. And
mm-hmm.
I want to do more of that. I want to help people realize what's out there and what's available to them just outside their back door. I don't know. It's fulfilling. It feels really good to accomplish that. And I appreciate my food so much more because of all the work that went into getting it and putting it on the table. And I know how healthy it is for my family and for myself. And there's a lot of blessing just in that.
Yeah, you know exactly what you're getting, especially when you cut everything up yourself. That's what I like.
Yep.
And if you know what to look for, I dropped in on a hunter's camp, some people that are in the vicinity. And this one guy, he was butchering his deer. And sure enough, he cut under one of the shoulder blades, and this deer was diseased. Just this green muck came out of it. And see, when you're processing, you know exactly what you're getting. He knew to discard that portion of the animal. The rest of it looked healthy, but it probably sustained some kind of injury in the wild, or maybe even picked up a piece of buckshot or something if somebody shot at it. But that's
what I like. Yeah, it's amazing what you find when you process a lot of animals. Over the years, I've processed, I can't even count how many animals, and some of the stuff you see is just incredible. It's so crazy to me how tough these creatures are and the things that they can sustain, the injuries they sustain and keep going and heal from or don't heal from. And
yeah.
Like you say, there's some sort of infection in there or whatever.
Yeah,
but
they're resilient.
It's pretty amazing.
I have the utmost respect for the game that I pursue, and I know you do too. How did you do in Illinois? You picked up a pretty good buck in Illinois, didn't you?
I did get a buck over there. I'm blessed to be able to hunt over there. I have a friend who is an outfitter and a podcaster, and he invites me every year to come out and hunt, and I love it. And I go every year more to visit with him and to see the family than anything, but I was blessed to get a buck this year. They have some giant whitetails on their property, and I've seen them, but I've never had a shot opportunity at one of their real giants. But this guy walked out right at the last, like, 10 minutes of shooting light on the last day. I was just thankful. Thankful that I got to fill that tag. And it's always fun to bring home something that helps you with that memory.
Yeah, I've noticed. I don't know if you've hunted down south. I've hunted north and south. And for some reason, the whitetail up there, I guess it's the browse, what they eat. I don't know. To me, they taste just a little bit better. Maybe it's the corn-fed, the cornfields that we have.
Possibly. I've never shot a whitetail down south, so I don't know for sure what they do taste like. But I know that where I hunt in Idaho, where the deer are up in the wheat fields all the time, that they're super good eating.
But a lot of it, you know this, it goes by the way that you process it. You know, you do away with the silver skin and the fat, and that's where all the gamey taste is. And I've heard people.
Right, and how you cook it, too. A lot of folks.
Absolutely.
Cook it like you would a beef, and it's just not quite the same. You have to treat it a little differently.
It was awful cold where they dropped you guys off. Where was the location again, Lindsay? Were you in Canada?
I was in Canada. I was in the Northwest Territories near Great Slave Lake.
Okay. Yeah, that's where Jordan Jonas and Season 6 and I believe Season 7 cast members of Alone were. Where were the temperatures that you experienced there?
Oh, I would say it ranged from below zero temperatures to about 30-something, 32 maybe.
Yeah, it never got above freezing, did it?
Not much. I think their first couple days it might have been above freezing midday for just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, it plummeted down quite a bit and it stayed cold.
Did you manage to stay warm in your shelter?
I did for the most part. It was a lot of keeping that fire going. That fire was essential for me. If I hadn't had that, I wouldn't have made it for sure. That was my number one priority. And it would get cold on the one shelter in the very beginning. It wasn't thick enough. And when it snowed, the heat from the fire would come in and warm that shelter and melt that snow, and it would drip down into the shelter. And so then it was wet in there.
Yeah.
And that posed a problem for a few days. I actually ended up putting the moose hide in between the boughs above the area where I slept so that at least that area would stay dry. And that was a lifesaver.
That's a wise decision there. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Lindsay did outlast both of the gentlemen who were with her. Joe Schilling, he came down with some kind of illness. Did they ever find out what was wrong with him? Because he looked really sick.
He was sick, and I don't know that he ever got a diagnosis of sorts, but he had some sort of a nasty cold or something that went into his lungs a bit. He was coughing like crazy. I felt bad for the guy.
I did, too. I expected a lot more out of him in the sense that he looked like he had a good set of skills. Hopefully, we'll see him again in the future because, like I said, I expect a lot out of him, but you could just tell he was deathly ill.
Yeah, he did not feel well, and I was bummed to see him go just because I knew both of my teammates had a lot of skills and a lot of techniques that I could learn from, and I was looking forward to learning from them, but it just didn't end up turning out that way. But that's all right.
Yeah,
it turned out fine.
For the rest of this year, or actually, excuse me, 2021, what are some of your plans?
Well, I actually recently, just in the last couple of weeks, I started a new job that I'm very excited about.
Really?
I have this amazing friend who lives in Alaska. She's a bush pilot and a guide, and she also has her own personal training business called Bristol Bay Fitness, and she hired me as an assistant trainer and coach, so that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to helping people get fit and get healthy and help them with their nutrition, and it's all kind of focused on being able to chase adventure a little bit better.
Man, I love it. And I'll tell you what, when we direct people to your website and to your social media sites, this lady is in shape. So hopefully you'll be an inspiration to others and you can help a few people
get back into
shape and maybe aspire to do some of the things that we're doing.
I think it's possible. And I know for me, the whole situation up there in the Arctic, I'm so thankful that I was as strong and as fit as I was because it made it so much easier. If I hadn't been in shape and I hadn't been strong and I hadn't been healthy and my nutrition hadn't been on point up into that place, I would have suffered much more.
Let's talk about your links, okay? I'd like you to guide some of our listeners to your website and to your social media sites.
Okay. Well, my website and my social media sites, I've tried to keep everything pretty similar so it's easy to find. My website is huntfiber.com, and all of my social media sites, you can find me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn and if there's a social media site, I'm probably on it. But they're all under Hunt Fiber or Lindsay Persico Hunt Fiber. It's pretty easy to find.
And that's LindsayPersico for our listeners. Yes. You're also on the Alone discussion page on Facebook, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I like to hop on there and interact with people off and on. I don't always see everything that people say or comment to me because my name might not get tagged in it. So sometimes I miss stuff. And if I do, I apologize. But I try to keep up on there and answer questions and stuff when I find them.
That's great. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool people on there. Not only some of the fans, but just some of the participants and some of the cast members. I talk with many of them, and it's just really fun sharing skills.
It is a tight-knit group, and they really seem to support each other well and encourage people who are curious and be willing to share information. I think it's a great group, and I'm really thankful that I'm a part of it. I hadn't been in that circle much in the past, and being on that show kind of introduced me to a whole new circle, and they're people that I've grown to love. Some of those folks have such an ingenious mind when it comes to like being inventive and coming up with something. I find it fascinating too. I'm like, man, I would have never thought of that.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah, like the old saying, necessity is the mother of invention. And that's why I like going out.
Truth.
In fact, one of my partners, Bushcraft Partners, called me up yesterday and he said, hey man, you ready to go out next week? And it's not as cold here as what it is up there, but it's rainy and miserable, and gosh, we love it. In fact, it's just a mission to stay dry and keep a fire going. Well, Lindsay, we're going to wrap everything up today and like to thank you again for being on your show. In the future, we'd like to have you back and look forward to seeing you on social media and hopefully one day on television again.
Well,
thanks
thank
again.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.